Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Michael Chakraverty.
And I'm Mark Watson.
And this is the Menkind Podcast. We're going to take a deep dive into masculinity, exploring what being a man actually means, along with a variety of brilliant guests.
You know, men talking about men is a notoriously underrepresented area of podcasting. Not anymore.
Happy New Year, everybody. We are back for 2021. Don't know whether you celebrate New Year's. I'm not sure we need to, really. I mean, what is the passage of time, Mark, really?
Big question, actually, Michael.
Not one for an intro, perhaps.
Well, what I think you can say is that the time has passed. Like, we are in 2021, whether you like it or not. That's what the year is now.
And I am better, which is pleasing. I can now talk.
I didn't enjoy introducing episodes without you because of your tonsils and stuff. I mean, I'm a guy that's old enough to not have tonsils, but...
But over the festive break, we have had some really lovely messages come flooding in to our inboxes. It's nice to hear we're touching people in an appropriate social distanced way.
We've had legitimate contact via electronic mail.
Yes, including somebody from their 60s who listened to the podcast with Tom Daly, where Tom talked about how his voice, he was really worried about when he was younger, about being a giveaway, about being queer, which was really lovely to hear that it had touched somebody from such a different generation, but it felt like it had been an experience that they'd had as well. As well as a friend of mine who could relate to the football-related trauma that Riyad brought up in episode one, where I had to play the goalpost in childhood games of football, which hurts. But what's even worse was that he went to a football camp and received a Best Behaved Player award. That's gotta hurt, hasn't it?
Yeah, Best Behaved. It doesn't suggest that you've got a massive football career ahead of you.
No.
It's so lovely to hear from people, though, it really is. Because when we started saying, you can also contact us, dot, 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 like you don't necessarily think people will, but it's lovely when people do.
Yeah, so please do keep reaching out. We are at Menkind Podcast on social media, or if you want to email us, drop us your words at menkindpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're happy for us to share what you've written, do note that in your message. But if you're not, that's also fine. We're happy to have a wee chat with you on there as well.
I agree.
Oh, we've also got to introduce the podcast.
Yeah. Who have we got, Michael?
Well, Mark, today we have Crystal from Drag Race UK Season 1.
You could be in full drag, actually.
I am.
Sorry, pretend you are. Yeah.
Wow, you look incredible.
Blinded by my sequins.
That's a good capture, isn't it?
They are pretty cool. Anna, this conversation is really good, especially at the very end when Mark gets really uncomfortable. So listen out for that bit.
Oh, yeah. They asked me about my... no spoilers, but yeah. It does end quite well. So this is Crystal, and I think this is enjoyable.
I think this is enjoyable. Excellent. I would like to introduce white straight man, Mark Watson.
Yeah, that's the...
It's
the only start in life you need.
It's
yeah.
The pinnacle.
You know it really is. It's the most popular thing you can be these days. And I, in turn, would like to introduce the guest we have today, which is Crystal. Hi, Crystal.
Hello.
Would you like to say who you are?
I would be honoured.
It would be a relief to us as well. I haven't given you the most full introduction there.
So my name is Crystal, and you might know me as the hairy Canadian transvestite from RuPaul's Drag Race UK.
Yeah, that's pretty good, I reckon.
I mean, it's a good time. Have you said that before?
Once or twice.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot of information in one sentence there. Yeah.
Pack it full.
You are a drag queen.
It's our first drag queen. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I guess I am. I generally call myself a drag artist, but...
Interesting. Let's talk about that.
Straight away, that's interesting.
Straight in.
Yeah.
Okay, so to me, I think drag queen implies you're performing femininity, or maybe attempting female impersonation, and drag artist to me sounds a bit more vague, where you're just playing with gender.
That's definitely true of someone like me that's kind of an outsider to the drag world. Drag queen summons a very specific association in your head, which some of which is based on ignorance, probably, or at least a very small-minded way of looking at the...
So
also, artist.
If I have the choice, I would... Yeah, exactly. Why not call yourself an artist if you have the choice? If I have the choice, I generally call myself a drag artist, but then, you know, sometimes I go on national TV shows for drag queens, and I'm happy to fit into that box if I have to.
So if you're using pronouns when you're in drag, which pronouns do you normally use?
It.
You there.
That thing.
Yeah. She, her.
So you do go by she, her.
Yeah, and I think it's just what people expect, and it just is easiest. I really don't care about pronouns, and like, because I'm someone who switches between male, female, and everything in between, kind of from a day-to-day basis, I really answer to anything, and it doesn't bother me.
So when was the first time you sort of learn that difference, the societal difference, I suppose, between male, female, man and woman? When was the first time you kind of saw there being a difference that you remember?
Oh, like back to the beginning.
Way back.
Okay, so we're going straight into the therapy session.
Yeah.
Every aspect of your life in order.
Yeah. So the differences between men and women, I guess probably like I can remember movies and TV shows from the late 80s, maybe like a Madonna music video, Express Yourself. She's like on a swan, she's the businesswoman.
Yes,
all these oily men pulling things with chains.
Into the Groove was an important video for me, shall we say, growing up.
Right. Oh, gross.
I could have been more gross than that, to be fair.
And then maybe like, I don't know, fighting games like Mortal Kombat, where you can you get to choose, like, is it a sexy lady or is it a...
And which did you choose?
Always the sexy lady, yeah.
Right, I would be the same. I would always choose the sexy lady.
I think I maybe was as well, though, because I remember Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter 2. There was definitely one of those games where I regularly took on a... but she was sexy, and her legs could like spin around and kick people in the face.
Sonya.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah,
first name.
Remember
terms.
Her well. Yeah.
Anyone likes that.
But I also liked the guys with the powers. Like, there was the lightning guy, and there was the ice guy. So, I don't know. I don't think I was necessarily, like, only interested in the feminine things. I think that kind of came a little bit later, and that's probably to do with like being rejected by masculinity to a degree. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about this on the bus over.
And what do you mean by rejected by masculinity? What?
Well,
I wish more of our podcast guests would do some thinking on the bus beforehand.
Specifically, like... us, probably.
Yeah, yes. Maybe we should. Yeah, maybe we should prepare for these things.
I think like I lived quite a sheltered and charmed childhood. My parents were both hippies. They were really like, just be you, express yourself however you want.
You grew up in a quite quiet area of Canada.
So I grew up in Nova Scotia, which is like a fishing, rural area. It's, if you picture like northern Scotland, you're kind of imagining the right kind of place. There are lots of backwards mentalities there, especially when it comes to things like race and gender. And I was in a very small town.
But your parents were hippies, so that
helped. But my parents were hippies, and this was like pre-puberty, so I was, you know, up to the age of 10, 11, just living my like childhood fantasy life and just playing in the woods and casting spells and talking to the animals. And like all my friends were girls and that seemed fine. And it was kind of before I think kids started to be able to single out like me for being weird. When I was 12, we moved into the city in Nova Scotia called Halifax. And so I switched schools and everyone's a little bit older. And I started to realize, like, oh, I'm different.
Different from who?
Different from, I don't know, the other boys, I guess. And suddenly my difference is kind of highlighted because I'm the new kid at the school also. So
you're different anyway.
Yeah, different anyway. And then also just like not figuring out where I fit or finding it more difficult to like naturally make friends and trying to figure all of that stuff out and realizing like that the boys... Not that they didn't want anything to do with me, but we didn't really have anything that we related to each other on. And like, I had a childhood best friend that was from that city and we kind of reconnected. But like, I was like, oh, you're into hockey and like sports. And
which is the equivalent of what people were saying about football in other podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Over there, it's hockey.
Yeah. So like going to hockey games and being like, this is so not my world. And I don't like, and so that friendship kind of fell apart a little bit because we were growing up and growing in different directions and I didn't really understand how I fit into that world anymore. And so that's probably where you start to get more interested in the feminine stuff because that's the stuff that's kind of more welcoming to you.
I think it's really interesting. It's actually one of the first things when I came out to my mum, she said, but you have lots of female friends. And I was like, yes.
Perhaps you should have done the maths on that. Yeah.
And it's quite a common theme, I suppose, is that because as queer people, we don't necessarily feel like we fit in with this idea of masculinity, we sort of then go, well, the only other option, therefore, is I must maybe try and fit in with the other thing, which mm-hmm. is femininity. But there is definitely this binary between you kind of either like the sports and all this kind of stuff, or you like the dressing up kind of thing. And that's very, very broad brushstrokes. But it is, you kind of set them in opposition and you have to identify with one of them. And as queer people, you end up choosing the other.
It takes you a long time to unpick that weird binary way of looking at the world, I think. I mean, it's interesting to me when you've spoken about this kind of thing before, because I obviously am on the other team. I was like a sports guy and everything, but I've also tended to have more female than male friends. So maybe women are just better? Is it that?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, wouldn't disagree with that, no.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that you say that it's almost like your interests get reinforced and then like crystallized, to use a word.
Yeah.
You're kind of
great
like,
branding.
Yeah. So you're kind of like everything gets reinforced and it's just building on top of itself. And so instead of exploring other routes, you're just kind of going down one and it gets stronger and stronger. So like, yeah, the sports thing or whatever it is. And well, I think it's quite helpful now seeing like the way my sister is raising her son, or just the way the younger generation is, that there's actually much more of a fluidity across all of those
things. What impact did that have on, I'm just thinking of like, you identify as a man normally sometimes apart from Sundays, but when you were growing up and you started to kind of go, well, perhaps I'm more interested in being drawn towards these feminine qualities, how did that impact your sense of being a man?
That's a very deep question. Yeah, it's a very good question.
You should be lying down on a chaise long when I ask that kind of question.
Michael's absolutely delighted with himself. For those of you listening at home, he's basically more or less put your feet up on the desk after that question.
I might actually just leave now.
You might light a cigar.
Podcast professional.
Yeah. Have I ever really felt like a man? And I don't actually know the answer to that question.
It's almost unanswerable.
I suppose you have to ask what is a man.
Exactly, you'd have to define what we mean by feeling like a man.
And I guess my feeling of what a man is society's feeling of what a man is, and I've never really felt like that, I guess. I mean, that's another reason that like drag was so appealing, is like a chance to reject all of the things that kind of rejected me first. And choose something different.
That's fascinating, because when you say reject, when I look at your style of drag, I see it more as an embracing of everything rather than a rejection of one thing.
Yeah,
why do you present in drag how you present?
I guess, well, for me, drag is about taking lots of different bits from both genders and the genders in between and using those. So when I was growing up, boys were kind of punished by society for being feminine, being different, being imaginative, being all of these things that we associate with the feminine. So when you get into drag, you can kind of say, actually, no, these things aren't shameful, they're powerful. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a conscious taking back of those things and then saying, actually, they're not only powerful, but people want to pay to see them.
Yeah. It's properly performing gender, isn't it? Yeah. That's essentially what it is. And you've chosen to keep your hair, your chest hair, and your hairy armpits. Why?
I don't know if you had to yell that at him.
Hairy armpits.
Hairy armpits.
Can you say it really low and sultry for us?
Hairy armpits.
And that is the trailer.
Maybe the trailer for the series. Just put that out on social media. No explanation, no context.
I know what the people want by this point. I keep my body hair, I think at first because I was just like in the East London scene and everyone was hairy, and like you didn't need to be a female impersonator to be an amazing performer or drag artist. You know, most of the queens that I still work with have beards. Like, that isn't a disconnect in the scene that I'm in. So it never really seemed like something I needed to do. And I shaved my chest a few times, like, in drag. And I don't know, it just didn't really feel like me.
So this is interesting about the different scenes even within drag.
Oh, for sure.
Again, it's kind of, I mean, I have been obviously reading about it before seeing you, but it's, yeah, quite labyrinthine, much more complicated than an outsider ever realizes.
Definitely there's, you know, still the Soho tradition of a female impersonator. And I don't think that's as much, like, that's also changing. Everything's changing all the time, and there's exceptions to all of the rules. But yeah, the East London scene tends to be a little bit more genderfuck and a bit more like anything goes kind of vibes. Just chuck on a bin bag, tie it around your waist, and
I could do that.
Yeah, and do a Katy Perry song about plastic bags. Like, it's fine. You can do whatever you want.
Maybe I'm an artist.
Yeah. So I guess that's why I initially started keeping it, but then I started to realize that it was kind of fucking with people's heads a bit. As I started to do more like corporate gigs or gigs with audiences that weren't from my East London little bubble, I realized that it actually made them a little bit uncomfortable, and I really liked that, because it meant that they had to question what they thought of masculinity and femininity. And like, I don't tend to think about it that closely very often, but like, that is the root of it. So if you see someone in drag and you're like, oh my God, they're gorgeous, they're so beautiful, blah, blah, oh, but they've got this hairy chest, then you have to suddenly be like, actually, what about any of that is female or belongs to womanness? Mm. Well, none of it. Like, men can have long hair, men can wear makeup, men can wear a corset. Like, none of those things are the things that belong to womanness. They're just what we've decided in this current era belong to femininity. So
yeah, we sometimes talk about how strange it is that things have been assigned to masculinity or femininity, when you step away from them, are mad. Like, we talked about how I'm a wine drinker, but men are, in inverted commas, meant to have a beer. Like, stuff that
People would expect me to have a wine, but I would have a beer instead.
Yeah, the fact that people constantly comment on the fact that I'm holding a pint when I'm in drag, they're like, wow, you drink beer? Like, what?
That's really funny. Yeah, I also have a bike.
It's so peculiar. And like,
it's very peculiar.
I get it all the time because I'm a beer drinker. What should I be doing? Like, I can only drink Prosecco when I'm in drag. Like,
vodka tonic.
Yeah.
You were saying about audiences. I think that's really fascinating about the different audiences. And obviously, Drag Race has done, RuPaul's Drag Race, if people aren't aware, why aren't you aware?
Feels like everyone's
aware. It's done a huge job about bringing drag sort of into more mainstream culture, people knowing what it is. What kind of responses did you get? Were there from either within the queer community or without? How did people react to that?
I got cast and I thought, I wonder if I need to shave my chest before I go on. And I kind of agonized about it because I was worried it would get me sent home or blah, blah, blah. And then I realized, actually, if they send me home for having a hairy chest, I mean, that's kind of the best PR I could possibly have gotten.
Yeah, like, it would have been a gift.
It really kind of helps me make the point of what I'm trying to make. But and then I got there and realized actually they didn't really care.
No.
Like, either way. Yeah. So that was actually really refreshing. And, you know, someone like Michelle or Rue, like, they've been around. They've seen it all. They've seen the bearded queens. They've seen hairy queens. Like, nothing. I've got a very little bit of chest hair and I've got hairy armpits. Like, compared to the hairy queens that I know and work with, like, I'm very much not a hairy
queen. You're smooth, basically. Yeah. On the overall spectrum of hairiness,
exactly.
You're barely on there.
So I don't think it was this, like, massive
deal.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal.
It wasn't a huge subversive act like it might have felt in your head.
But the response was really great because it was the first time that I think Drag Race had someone that... You'd had people like Violet Chachki who didn't pad and didn't wear breasts. So that was, like, one shift of the, like, oh, you're not doing gender illusion the way we thought it needed to be done. And then someone like me who keeps a hairy chest, like, that's another kind of shift of that dial a little bit. In Drag Race Holland now, there's a bearded queen.
Fab.
So the dial is constantly being shifted a little bit, but I guess they just do it in quite small doses. But yeah, the response was really amazing, mostly from the community, because people seeing it were really excited to see something a little bit different.
And what was really different, I think, about Drag Race UK was the fact that it showed camp in a very different way.
Oh, for sure.
And camp in British culture has a bit of a history of often being a negative thing. And
a caricature, maybe. Certainly something that allows people outside of it to carry the danger that it enforces homophobic ideas, maybe, if it's done wrong.
So what are your thoughts on that, I suppose, campness in queer culture? Because a lot of the time, if you look in queer culture, there's this whole focus on you are either femme or you are masculine, and those are the two things that you can be. Mm-hmm. And camp straddles a third area there. And like, do you think that the idea of being camp and performing masculinity in a more feminine way is threatening? Or how have we moved from, like, the negative to it being celebrated on Drag Race UK? There you
are. I think
society. How does society work?
Yeah.
We also have one question, Crystal, which the questioner just can't quite.
Are you trying to say that my question was not very good to say?
Not that it wasn't very good, but I think it might have been today's example of a question that took a while to really ram home.
We'll see. We'll see.
So I think if I understand correctly, I think that's the beauty of drag, is that it can poke fun. So the irreverence is baked in to the art form. And so it's really easy to mock masculinity and femininity when you are wearing a wig for some reason. It just happens. Mm. So
maybe because it shows how ridiculous the assumptions of male and female, like, if you can just turn from one into the other, in inverted commas, then it tears down this idea, the rigidity of it all.
It's fascinating that within a queer community, which therefore is literally celebrating the irreverence and celebrating the fact that you can just jump from being a man to a woman, there is still an element of essentially misogyny within the queer community where people want to be masculine or feminine. Mm-hmm. And why do you think we both celebrate and denigrate it, I suppose?
Yeah.
Ooh, denigrate. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Occasionally, Michael just looks across the desk with his triumph as if we're playing chess, and he's just like, absolutely nailed a move. I'll do my best to top denigrate before the end of this, but I've got to say, that's impressive. And you knew it straight away.
You're never going to beat Crystallize. I'm sorry.
His whole face lit up. Yeah, I don't think we'll actually top a guest managing to get their own name into a verb.
Impressive.
Yeah. It's just me that hasn't pulled off a really impressive word yet.
So you've got, like, I don't know how long you've
got. I've still got time, mate. Don't you worry about that. You chat on and I'll do some Googling of words.
Yeah.
I think it's a real shame that gay culture worships masculinity in that toxic way that we kind of already talked about. And I don't know the answer to why we do that, but it's probably because we were all bullied by toxic masculinity as children and now we want it to step on our necks.
But when you're younger, you don't fit in, but you always sort of want to. And I do think you kind of pedestal it, don't you?
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
Is that what you mean by step on the necks? Like you somehow, because it's rejected you, you somehow want to be part of it.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I've never really thought of the relationship of the gay world to that kind of masculinity or not in those terms.
That's a fascinating way of putting it. Oh, aren't you clever?
You kind of continue to yearn for the thing which pushed you away, whether you want to or
exactly.
not.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's just the story of humanity. I don't think it's something unique to gay men. But then that's what I think is so wonderful about drag is that I get to choose not to put that on a pedestal.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What I find kind of hypocritical about myself is that I waited until I was in a serious relationship before I started doing drag.
Really?
Because I think I was worried it would make me fundamentally unfuckable or unlovable to be like that embracing of the feminine.
That's really interesting. I wouldn't have thought that would be a hang-up that you'd have, given how freely you seem to be able to play with gender and others ideas.
And I don't think I would have that same hang-up now. Like, were I single, I wouldn't worry about it in the same way. But this was before I was famous, in quotes, and it was before drag was really like as celebrated, so it wasn't as cool to be a drag queen. It was a thing that made you a member of a specific community that was like cool in some ways, but also like a bit of a social pariah in others.
Yeah, it's been kind of incredible to see how, I guess it's not all because of RuPaul's show, but like the way drag has infiltrated the radar of like a person like me, say, or which is a lot of the country, has felt very swift and interesting. And what do you hope? I mean, it's kind of a big question, but what kind of changes in society's attitudes do you think we can hope to see as a result? Well, not purely as a result of drag, but like you said, it does feel as if there's much more fluidity in the way we're talking about things now. Someone like me, again, I've got young kids and I try to raise them with the most up-to-date conception of gender and stuff I can. I think a lot of people are doing that now. Do you think that the popularisation of stuff like Drag Race can actually lead to, because, you know, all of us know that the minds we want to change are not the people who are already watching Drag Race, is the greater society.
I think it has a great potential to, show, like we've talked about, the fluidity across gender lines. I think it's really fabulous to have people's queer stories presented on a massive platform.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's probably the biggest impact it will have. It's kind of that
just hearing
queer eye
stories.
That queer eye effect. And I don't think it's necessarily about drag. I think it's just about people seeing what modern gayness looks like.
Yeah, rather than seeing it as just one like,
yeah,
job.
Because I think
people,
it does
yeah.
do a great job of showing you the person behind all of the makeup and the costume. That said, it only shows one very small facet of the queer community. So it's got work to do there. But the pessimist in me worries that we're all just, like, that maybe the subversion is starting to get lost because we're starting to just all appeal to the same kind of aesthetic of, like everything's starting to just become this hyper-sexualized thing, and maybe the subversion is getting lost because yeah. we're all just trying to become video hoes, basically.
There's going to be a risk with something as huge as Drag Race that yeah. it creates its own kind of culture, which is just a kind of pastiche, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I think it's important to just remember the, like, we don't all need to be thin and have giant lips and all of those things. That I just worry that drag will start reinforcing the same things that we were trying
that
to...
That you were trying to get away from.
Yeah. To get away from.
I was interested yeah. you're talking about you not trying out drag or performing drag mm. as you do now before you were in a long-term relationship. What happened to you in that time? Mm. How did you start exploring that?
I think I was basically just a Halloween gay. Like right. I was the gay that went a little bit too far on Halloween every year.
I like Halloween gay as a concept.
Yeah.
Give us some examples.
Well, it was always something that was... like a little bit femme, but also fully thirsty. So like right. like a centaur or a mermaid or a fairy, but like
yeah, a topless. Legendary creature.
Yeah, always
but
topless.
A sexy legendary
yeah.
creature.
Yeah, exactly. Basically.
A sexy centaur.
Yeah. Literally.
It's interesting this because I don't think until recently, I'm pretty sure that 20 years ago, Halloween here was just, you know, you were just a black cat or a witch and that was pretty much it. And I feel like the yeah. North American influence of suddenly everyone is yeah. dressing as like a so lion, but
11,
a sex lion.
Yeah, I moved here 11 years ago and yeah. I was dismayed by how people didn't take it very seriously. So
you
I,
guys
I,
have got your way.
So actually yeah. you've done it. It was you.
Halloween
was
has turned everyone me. Into nymphomaniacs now.
Yeah.
So was there anyone that you sort of looked up to in that time?
Yeah, so like my biggest icon was probably David Bowie.
Cool.
Who was someone that I just saw really playing with all of that stuff.
Way before we had all these terms as well.
Yeah, like, totally.
The idea of yeah. Just flitting between masculine and femininity and not really acknowledging that any of them were norms. All of this stuff, yeah. He was quite a long way ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was really interested in like, yeah, androgynous kind of rock stars like Susie Sue or Patti yeah. Smith as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I would channel it as well. Like I was living in Montreal right before I moved to London, and I lived there for about 3 years, and I started producing burlesque shows, and this was like...
Montreal is quite a hotbed of weird stuff
yeah,
as well, isn't
yeah.
it? Like, yeah.
And so these were like, I guess this was before drag had its renaissance. It was like 2007, and it was when burlesque was having its like heyday with Dita Von Teese, and so it was like these neo-burlesque shows, which were basically drag shows now, and I would basically channel the same kind of ideas.
What brought you to burlesque? What drew you there?
My sister, she was doing shows and she was like, oh, come do a show with me, you'll really enjoy it. And so we did a number, it was from Cabaret, Two Ladies.
Right, yes, yes.
And I got into like very proto drag, and my boyfriend at the time was like the MC character, and it is quite weird when you think about yeah. it, but me and my sister look really, really, really similar. So with me and drag, it was yeah, it was quite fun.
Not everyone can do that with their sibling, I reckon.
No.
No, you seem to have a very open and accepting and happy family, which is really incredible, I think.
Yeah, my sister like really kind of paved the way for me because she was incredibly rebellious and she was a total punk. So I think basically I didn't have to rebel because she'd already done it, and then
anything you
there
did
was kind
just,
of no point.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's very useful having an older sibling do some of that work, yeah. I reckon. Yeah.
And where you are now...
Yeah, I was going to ask this.
Or having crystallized, yeah, you can... Yeah, so now, even get good word in, Mark. Put in your role, come on.
We like to ask people about the men, the male figures that they look up to now that they find as good examples of being a man. Quintessential manhood, if you like.
We've had 7 out of 10.
I said that word in another episode as well, though.
Why don't you leave a gap and we can put it in after? So it's just like...
All right. Actually, what I should have said was, which men do you think provide the quintessence of manhood? Because that would be that.
Oh, that quintessence of manhood is good.
Same word, essentially.
Sounds a bit like you're talking about penises, but...
A lot of things to you sound like that, Michael.
Well,
I can't be constantly de-penis. Not everything is a dick, Michael. What was denigrate then? 9 out of 10? What did you give yourself?
A 10, a full 10.
That was a full 10.
Do I think it's a 10?
No.
Oh, no, what would you
no,
give it?
That's like an 8.5 for me.
All right, okay. What's crystallized for you?
I think crystallized gets a 9 just because it is my name.
Okay, so I was quite close.
Yeah.
So quintessence of manhood gets a...
I like Quintessence. When was the last time you heard Quintessence? I feel like I've heard Denigrate, you know, yesterday.
Oh. Crystal, whose side are you on?
It's quite obvious whose side Crystal is on. I don't mind it at all. Yeah, who do you think, who in your life, well, not necessarily in your life, just who would you name now as great examples of being a man for whatever reason?
Probably my dad.
Mm, it's interesting, like, how often people say their dads.
It's lovely.
Is it?
In a really nice way.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, I feel like so lucky to have the dad that I do. I mean, he was in a rock band when he was my age. He lived in London and he was like a kind of Rolling Stonesy kind of guy. He's always rejected masculinity, so it made it okay for me to do that. And I guess like a Rolling Stones rock star is also like a different kind of masculinity, but it is a different one.
Yeah, it's interesting how, actually, if you think about it, a lot of rock and roll, including a lot of what you think of as alpha male rock and roll, has always played with these ideas that, yeah, you know, taunted people about masculinity, yeah, and femininity. That part of playfulness is like baked into rock and roll, to use your phrase, yeah, in the same way, I guess. It's just not something you necessarily think about. So yeah, your dad was a model of that, yeah, kind of approach to masculinity.
Yeah, absolutely. And he never pushed me into doing things that like he thought a boy should do. He's, you know, never been afraid to talk about his emotions. Like, he's just like, he's a really good guy in all of those senses. And beyond that, like, I think he's a wonderful mentor. I've seen him in my life, like, take troubled men in under his wing and like kind of give them mentorship. And
that's a very admirable quality.
Yeah, he's just fab. So,
and in fact, that does kind of tee up your Michael's Got a Traditional question.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like it follows nicely from,
yeah,
that.
I imagine you were going to a Build-A-Bear workshop, but it's men and not specifically bears.
By the way, I have kids and I do know what a Build-A-Bear workshop is, but I've been astonished that every guest accepts the idea of Build-A-Bear with, like, I didn't think it was as big an institution as it is.
It's a fairly well-known thing.
I thought it was quite a niche reference when you first said it, but no one's flinched at the idea of Build-A-Bear.
I used to work for a crystal jeweler for Swarovski,
and you really have you've thought through your aesthetic really well.
I had no chance. And my job was to open shops around the UK, so I've been to every shopping center in the UK.
Then you have seen these places.
But
yeah.
Also, Build-A-Bear, like, in the title, you know what it is.
Yeah.
No, I suppose it doesn't require a lot of unpacking. Yeah.
I feel like we should be pushing for sponsorship from Build-A-Bear.
Well, it's a bit odd that we've now mentioned them in every episode still without them asking us or rewarding us in any way. It's the opposite of what sponsorship is meant to be, I think.
If you can hear us, please reach out.
Yeah, because we really are. We're talking about you all the time. And you are right. It is a very recognisable brand. When the guys named Build-A-Bear, they must have thought, we've nailed
we
that.
We smashed
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, though, that like high street retail isn't in a position to be sponsoring things.
Oh, why is
right
that?
Now.
Have there been some problems? I've been in this room since March, you see.
So if you were going into a Build-A-Bear workshop, but it was a Build-A-Man workshop, what three qualities would you put into each man?
And is this like to fuck or...
If you'd like to, but just generally, just like in terms of... Just hearing about your dad and like the
people
qualities.
Have tended to approach it both ways, haven't they? Sometimes people have like two nice masculine qualities and then a
really
fuckable
one.
Yeah.
It's hard to know how to answer that because there's like...
Well, we've also framed the question oddly by talking about it like what's good about your dad, but also what would you like to have sex with?
Yeah. Thankfully, there's an instant disconnect there.
Yeah. Probably should be, yeah.
Well, there's like this idea we have of like men out in the world, and for them, I think they all need maybe more brains, less mouth.
God, amen to that, really. Mm. Yeah.
That's a really nice way. More brains, less mouth. That's brilliant.
More thinking and less talking would suit almost everyone on earth.
Yeah,
think.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and man. But if you're just talking about qualities, I think they're not necessarily qualities for men or women. I think it's just
it's a good way
it's
of
just quality
yeah.
human qualities, and it's like, I don't know, open mindedness. Mm. / like curiosity, I think that...
Already putting in four, but cool.
Curiosity is a great one, I think.
But I think curiosity is actually a more effective way of saying open-mindedness, because curiosity shows an active want and need to engage with different things.
Yeah, a willingness to actually do the work to meet someone halfway. Yeah. So often when people are bigoted or prejudiced in whatever way, lack of curiosity is how you would sum up their approach, because they have not met three drag artists or one trans person or... Yep. They haven't sought those people out. If they ever did, they couldn't hold those opinions pretty
and
much.
I think curiosity then comes with kind of like generosity because of, you just are more willing and accepting to forgive and be understanding and be generous to someone if you've made the work to understand.
If you understand who they actually are and
that's
what motivates them.
I really
them.
Like that one, actually. I think that's the first time we've had curiosity. I think that's a really,
really
good way of putting it.
Yeah, I think being incurious is one of the worst things you can be as
a human. Is incurious a word?
It is, and if it is, I'm wanting at least eight.
Incurious Bastards.
I feel confident with Incurious. We've done some verbal gymnastics in this show.
I think that's a solid 8.
Oh, I got 8.5.
Yeah, you've got to remember, I didn't say it as an entrant for the word of the day or anything. For that matter, we haven't had a word of the day before, so I don't know how it went like this. We're just so good at these segments. We said we weren't natural podcasters, but we're just spinning off these segments. We've got imaginary sponsorship from Build-A-Bear. We've got a word competition. We're like cult figures.
Cult figures. So we've got generosity in the man.
Curiosity stroke generosity.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, now I'm just thinking of things that are typical of masculinity that I just want to not include rather than things...
Oh, I mean, we can have a bin pile if you'd like.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, what are the things... Strength? Meh, don't need that. That's fine. We've got machines now. We don't need brawn.
I needed someone to say that when I was 11.
And then bravery, what's that about?
This is great. This is all stuff I don't really
also
have.
On the shit list.
This can all go in the pile.
Why would you want, what's that for? Unless you're a firefighter, I guess. They should be brave.
I'm enjoying this list of shit.
The shit list is great.
The shit list is much easier, turns out. Okay, so I'm going to then go to the opposite, and I'm thinking of feminine qualities that I think we should all have, and I'm going to go with kindness.
Oh, yes. That's always a nice one.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the ultimate human quality in a way, isn't it? Without it, you're nothing.
I've got my third.
You've got a third.
10-inch dick. Because what else is a man good for, really?
Well, but 10 inches is quite...
Too much, almost?
I would say it's a bit excessive.
Oh, really? 9?
What would your preferred length be, Michael? Where are you going to sign on?
I think I'll sign, up to 9, I would say.
Up to 9.
Okay, so there's a window that you'd both be happy
with.
What
would you say?
Dick length-wise?
Yes.
In terms of what I'd like to possess or what I would find attractive?
Just both, just in general.
So you've got a man who's curious, he's kind, and how big is his dick?
Well, I suppose, and I don't have very much experience of this area of sexuality, but I imagine that you'd want... Is there a thing where you'd like it to be...
We've just made the straight man squirm.
It's a point of pride that I want to answer the question properly.
I can tell.
So, I think I'm picturing it as I think I'd want over a certain length, but I think I'd also want it to be aesthetically pleasing, proportional.
For the listener, he's using his hands in a very kind of...
A worried way. So maybe I'd take 8 inches and upwards, even less than that, if it was a kind of a pleasing shape, if it worked well as a dick, I think.
And right, so let me take back the sizeness and we'll go for a beautiful dick.
There we go.
I'm glad we've reached a consensus on ideal dick, and I'm surprised and pleased that I pitched in with that consensus. So it's not something I spent a lot of time thinking about.
Now, how would you like to finish, Crystal?
I actually have my own podcast coming out soon. It is called The Things That Made Me Queer, and it is with World of Wonder. And I have a guest on each week talking about the very things that shaped them and made them queer. So
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, there you go. but also things from childhood, and I've got a really fabulous mix of guests, Drag Race stars, musicians, all sorts of people. So check it out.
That sounds great.
And where can they find you on the people? Where can they find you on social media?
You can find me under Crystal Will See You Now under all decent social media.
Crystal Will See You Now is great.
Yeah, and also some indecent ones.
Ooh.
That doesn't come as a huge surprise after some of what we've heard today.
Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great.
You've been great. Thank you,
Crystal. We've been great, I think I would say.
We've been great. Well, you...
I've been particularly great.
You lavished praise upon yourself at various points. Yeah.
We collectively smashed that.
We collectively smashed it. Crystal, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That
shit hot ending.
That worked. Thank you for listening to Menkind. You can find us on social media at Menkind Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Or you can send us an email, menkindpodcast@gmail.com. Why not do that? We will read it as well.
So you've just had Crystal in your ears. I hope you enjoyed that, especially that end bit. I really did. And if you want to have more Crystal in your ears, she has her own podcast coming out on January the 19th with some cool guests, including Detox, Shea Coulee, M&EK, JD Sampson, and Juno Dawson. So keep your ears peeled. Ears peeled for that? Can you peel your ears?
Yeah, you can. I think you can have your ears peeled. Don't worry about that.
Great. Well, while they're peeled, keep them peeled for next Monday when we have Thomas Page McBee.
It's an intense chat. It's a good one.
But as a kid, it's sort of kind of hard to explain, but I think all young children who are masculine, I was trying to prove my masculinity all the time. It's just that there wasn't a language for me, and I kind of confused trying to figure out how to do that well without turning out like my bad dad, you know?
He's proper cool Oh, does that work? Cool, proper cool
You're the young one. If you think people will respond to that, then good luck.
Please just peel your ears. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.